because we never know when you might be the one who is going to be killed. So that's a pretty sad situation.
We have, I guess, just enough time for two new stories that we'd like to share. The first one that we want to share is something about Haitians. U.S. to deport 30,000 Haitians. In Miami, activists have called a protest for Saturday over U.S. government plans to deport some 30,000 Haitians. Earlier this year, the Bush administration rejected a Haitian request to delay the deportations until Haiti recovers from a string of deadly summer storms.
Y en español, los Estados Unidos deportarán a 30 miles haitianos. En otras noticias de Miami, activistas convocaron una protesta para el sábado por los planes del gobierno estadounidense de deportar a aproximadamente a 30 miles haitianos. Este año el gobierno de Bush rechazó un pedido haitiano de postergar las deportaciones hasta que Haití se recupere de una serie de tormentas de verano letales.
The next news is Guatemala apologized to Cuba for Bay of Pigs. Guatemala has issued a formal apology to Cuba for taking part in the U.S. Bay of Pigs invasion of 1961. The Kennedy administration used Guatemalan soil to train the group of militants used in the ultimately failed attack. On Tuesday, Guatemalan President Alvaro Colom said he wished to officially ask Cuba for forgiveness. The U.S. has never apologized for the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Guatemala se disculpa con Cuba por invasión de Bahía de Cochinos. Guatemala se disculpó formalmente con Cuba por participar en la invasión estadounidense de Bahía de Cochinos del año 1961. El gobierno de Kennedy utilizó el territorio guatemalteco para entrenar al grupo de militantes usados en lo que resultó ser un ataque fallido. En martes, el presidente guatemalteco Álvaro Colom dijo que deseaba pedirle perdón a Cuba oficialmente. Los Estados Unidos...
The next news is...
Okay, the next news. Obama ordered 17,000 troops to Afghanistan. In his most significant military decision to date, President Obama has ordered an additional 17,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan. The move fulfills a campaign pledge to increase the size of the U.S. occupation. The new deployments will take effect in May, increasing the U.S. occupation force to 55,000, a 50% rise. Another 32,000 non-U.S. NATO troops are also in Afghanistan. The news came as the U.S. said Afghan civilian casualties jumped by nearly 40% last year. U.S.-led forces were responsible for nearly 40% of the deaths, killing 828 people out of reported 2,100 casualties. Y en español, Obama dispone envío de 17,000 soldados a Afganistán. En la decisión militar más importante adoptada hasta el momento, el presidente Obama ordenó el envío de 17,000 soldados estadounidenses más a Afganistán. La decisión de cumplimiento a una promesa de la campaña electoral de aumentar la ocupación estadounidense. Los nuevos despliegues tendrán lugar en mayo y aumentarán las fuerzas de ocupación de los Estados Unidos a 55,000 efectivos, lo que significa un aumento del 50. Además, hay 32,000 soldados no estadounidenses de la OTA en Afganistán.
So that's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us at Spherio today. And we just want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not representing WMBR, the Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. And we'll talk to you later.
I also want to say goodbye to Kendra because it's her last day on Spherio and she's been incredible for us. And she taught us how to engineer the board so that we can actually keep running the show.
So. And you two are fantastic. And of course, this is WMBR in Cambridge and stay tuned for Music for Human Beings.
Okay. This... We'll be right back.
clases de merengue, todos van a disfrutar este ritmo dominicano. Y una de las cosas bellas en la vida que te hará gozar sin medida cuando tú quieras bailar en esta fiesta bonita, donde todo se divierte bailando al ritmo cadencioso de este rico merengue. Aquí no importan edades, ni la raza o religión. Cuando suena el bambicheao, toda la gente se suma al vacilón. Les traigo hoy el sabor
para que baile mi gente,
de mi rico merengue,
para que goce mi gente.
Aquí les vengo cantando
para que baile mi gente,
mis días y un del corazón,
para que goce mi gente.
Con la buena, la conga, la
فمرحبا في ميوزك فور هيومن. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. We are joined this evening by the indomitable Rico Fito Bombiron.
Hello, thank you. Hello, thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure to be back to the show so early.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you with us.
Yes, yes.
This evening. Dr. Bombiron is a professor of herbology and herbalisms from South America.
Yes, I come directly from the Amazon rainforest. I wouldn't say I have a nationality because so many countries surround the Amazon, and I am from all of them, I believe.
So you are from
Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, everything, all the region around it. They don't know where I was born, actually. I was adopted.
So, well, incredibly, before even our call-in number has been announced, we have our first caller. We'll ask our operator to patch that through for us. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I wasn't supposed to call in now or not.
No, of course. We are very pleased to have someone prognosticate the number.
Yes, well, you know, I was very interested in finding out as soon as possible what the topic of today would be. I just couldn't wait.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, but here at Music for Human, it's We don't like to think of it as having a topic per se, but we usually just let ourselves be guided, and we find that we center on a particular point.
You don't
of
have
discussion.
A topic today?
Well, we never really have a topic.
You said they don't have a topic. I don't know, it's ridiculous.
Well, what do you think about?
Hello?
What were you thinking about talking about?
Listen, I don't pretend to know how to run a radio show. I would just appreciate a little structure.
Well, we'll try to give more structure to your life. Sorry.
Life is sort of unstructured, and we're happy with that. We found a way to live with that.
I think that's disgusting. I think that's terrible. I think you need a rigid structure to live a happy life. And if you don't see that, I don't know. You know what? Goodbye.
Well, caller, thank you for your call. We respect your opinion. Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, and you see how he laughs about them. Because the world is unpredictable. There's just too many variables in the world. But thanks, caller. We'll try to be more structured for your inner feelings.
Life is like that, right? No structure. For those of us with or without structure, if you'd like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810, and we have two open lines. That is the example of what a call sounds like when there is no one there. Well, in lieu of a formal topic or agenda, I was walking into the station earlier, and I still find that I have difficulty coming to terms with the winter and all of its unusual consequences.
Yes, the lack of plant life is something that always bothers me about winter. How they're hidden, how they're sleeping, how they're waiting for them to come back.
And as an herbologist, it must really touch you.
Yes, it's when I'm in a place without plans, I feel lonely. I feel like there's something around me missing.
So do you feel like that now?
Well, I have here in my pocket my lucky, four-leaf travel that I carry with me when I'm in confined places like this. And, you know, I can just touch it to feel one with nature.
But don't you feel that there is some lesson of renewal in the whole of winter and things seem to die but are not actually dead, and then everything comes back to life in the spring?
Well, no, not really. I feel that you need the plants all the time. You need to keep them at home. You have to talk to them. To me, they're like my children.
So you feel that there actually is death?
Yes. Only the strong ones survive. The weaker ones, they just perish and leave. And it's such a painful experience to me. I saw a tree today died of cold, and I cried. I couldn't stop myself. It was a horrible thing.
I imagine that as one who is so connected with plants that you might even begin to anthropomorphize them, that you might find that when you look at a plant, that instead of seeing leaves and a stalk and fruit and roots, you see perhaps a young nomad.
Well, to me, it's the other way around. I see people, and then I see a plant in them, and I say, my God, this person looks like a strong oak, a very, you know, ageless plant.
So you look at a person and see a plant?
Yes, yes.
And what plant do you see yourself as being?
Oh, well, with me, I have had a problem with that because I feel that I evolve myself, and I don't know when I look in the mirror what I'm going to see every day.
So you actually see something?
Yes, I see a plant in the mirror.
But something different every time?
Well, it evolves through time. In the winter, I like to think that I'm like an evergreen, a tree that survives. But, you know, when it gets harder, I feel bad and I don't feel like that anymore. I feel like a small, small plant.
And when you meet people, do you instantly know what type of plant they are, or is this some knowledge that comes to you gradually?
Oh, usually I can tell right away. I mean, it's very, very rare cases when they change, when they become another plant, a different plant.
And so, looking at me, what plant do you see?
I see a very big oak tree, a strong oak tree that can survive, that has so long roots, that, you know, gives away life, has children.
So it's the concept that you see is really age, but age, strength in age.
Yes, strength in age.
Which is what the tree represents.
Of course.
And do you feel about many people feel a lot of pain for the animals that they eat. I would imagine that for an herbologist, it would extend to plants as well.
Of course. But, you know, there's also the parasitic plants that do the same sort of thing in our plants, and they just hurt one another. They you know, go into one's another plant, and they just start living off it and taking its nutrients and its life. And it's very painful for me to see this relationship. And you see it in people of the type, the odd couple with the girl who, you know, does everything for the guy. And I just see this relationship in them every time.
So you actually not only see individual people as plants, but you really sense plant relationships.
Oh, yes, of course. That actually determines a lot what kind of people, what kind of plant they are, their relationship to one another. You know, you can't be, like, for instance, when you walk at MIT, you see some professors, and there's this very old Norwegian spruce. It's 9,550 years old, and you can really see this professor as that because of the wisdom that he shows the people.
Well, once again, let's throw out our call-in number. It's 617-253 8810, and our operator will be happy to patch you through. Caller 1, you are on the air.
Hey, I was reminded by what you were talking about. There's this poem told about a monk, and I can't remember the verse, but the basic idea is that this monk is sitting under a tree, and this tree happens to be a very old tree, and is very similar to the monk in the same way that the Norwegian professor is similar to this spruce tree. So he takes this meditative nap or hibernation where he's inside his head for years at a time, and of course he's fed intravenously by his disciples, etc. But over the course of several months and then years, there's a fig, a strangler fig, that grows on the tree that he's meditating under. And eventually, the strangler fig realizes that it's taken over the wrong tree, and it's strangled the meditator to death. And this story was told to exemplify the intelligence of plants, and there's still a lot that plants have to learn.
Yeah, I definitely feel that plants continue to evolve, and they continue to grow, just like people do. Let's throw in another caller. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Hello, caller 2.
Hi!
Caller 2, welcome to the air.
I have a cat, and this cat, what? That's funny?
I
didn't get to the funny part yet.
Okay, caller, tell us about your cat.
I was just saying that I have a cat, too.
I rescued this cat, and eventually I realized this was a strange cat, and it took me a while to notice that her head, well, I thought it was a male, and then I went to the vet, and we noticed it was a female, and anyway, that's aside from the point, but this cat basically has a head like a coconut, and not like one of those coconuts you see on Gilligan's Island, you know, the brown ones, mm-hmm. but the green one, the way they come off the tree,
what?
And so time went on, and then the coconut sprouted, which was okay, so there's a little palm tree growing out of this cat's head. And what I'm worried about now is I heard about this thing that happens to some palm trees. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sounds like it has a staph infection. That happened to my cat, Molly, several months ago.
Well, that happens to a regular cat, but this cat, what I'm worried about is something that happens to the tree where the top of the tree just falls off.
Well, you have to make sure that the tree is well kept, that it has sufficient support. If you have to tie down the cat to put the support on...
For structural support,
and then you can let him go. But you have to make a helmet. You know, there's many engineers at MIT who specialize in this sort of stuff.
Well, the...
You really just put the cat down.
The...
No. The plant.
Do you have any other cats in the house?
The plant needs.
I put the cat down all the time when I want to get up and she's on my lap. But do you know, or maybe another caller could help me to find a place that does grooming and pruning at the same time?
I do. My backyard is actually a vestibule full of various plants that have been brought in over the years by the tenants of my home and by myself and my lovely wife. And
tell us about your wife. What is she wearing right now?
Callers,
my
perhaps.
Wife, not in the room, and I'd rather you not talk to me so abruptly.
Callers, yeah, perhaps we could return to the...
She's in a gown.
To the discussion, which is about the reason that a palm tree requires structural support. So my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Bombiron, is that the plants are accustomed to movement over really long periods of time compared to the movement of kitty cat. And so, for example...
What is this?
Well... you know, the plant may gradually go towards the source of light over many weeks, but a kitten will run towards a source of food in a matter of minutes. It's really all a matter of the time scale. If you were jarred at a speed several hundred times faster than you were accustomed to moving, perhaps by a bullet, then you would certainly feel some harm from it.
I imagine some of them actually feel schizophrenic from all the movement that the plant has. You know, their balance, their internal balance just falls.
Well, and I always felt that it was particularly cruel of plant owners to place clinging vines in bathrooms and things where I don't think plants like to be.
No, that's right. They don't like to be in the non-natural environments.
Well, in particular, a bathroom. To spend your entire life.
Well, that's debatable because there is a lot of natural things in the air. When you take off your pants, there's bacteria. There's things going into the toilet, not directly related to the plant, but at least in the area of things. So the worst place would probably be in some sort of a sun closet just by itself. That would be pretty awful.
Oh, and that would be a torture.
And Professor Bombiron, have you ever actually connected? I mean, beyond identifying with plants and, you know, understanding plants so well,
oh, yes. I once was meditating next to a plant, and I felt, you know, for many, many, many hours without movement, and I felt it grow on top of me. It was trying to speak to me. You know, what people have to understand about plants, that they do move. They just have a slower, much slower rate than we do.
What did it say?
Oh, I think it was, it couldn't say anything. There were no words to describe what we were communicating to one another.
Was it sexual?
Well, she wasn't too interested in my genitalia. It was more about showing me what the world is and how it can be.
How can it be?
Well, according to the plant, we'll do fine if we all, you know, just relax and try to live.
And is caller two still with us?
That's a shame.
Well, we will free up that line.
What about you? Tell us about your experience with plants.
Well, I was reminded from your speech about your meditation. Back in the 60s, I was a big activist, and you may have heard of the drug LSD, which was very popular back then. And so one time, myself and a couple of my comrades were on the green at Brown University, and we just, you know, up and decided to take some of these illegal drugs. And there was this big tree, I believe it was a silver maple, that was near us when we were under the wiles of this LSD. And for about 14 hours, I was just in and around the tree, and I could feel what the tree was thinking, and I could feel it putting itself into me. And when I was out, you know, when I woke up, there was, you know, signs of, you know, invasion and lots of scratches on my body. And I still don't know what happened, but I do recall that experience as one of the most profound of my life. And it was very beautiful. It was pure love.
So you actually felt yourself combining body and soul with a tree.
It was more body.
You actually did not feel that you connected on some spiritual plane?
Well, no, it was mostly a feeling of branches inside my body. But that feeling came along with so much love.
Do you feel better for it now, for having had this experience? Did it make you a better person?
No, I actually have chronic diarrhea from that experience, but I do have a certain fondness for maple trees from here on out. It's, you know, it was difficult, but it made me a better person, and now I have a garden which I love very deeply and physically.
Yes, I do also have to put my hand and soils every morning in the soil of the plants and feel the earth between my fingers. Is this something you do as well in your garden?
Well, I like to use my whole body because there's no reason that plants would respond to your hands. That's not the most powerful part of your body. And people don't realize this a lot because, you know, we live in Puritan America and sexualism is not very explicitly talked about in the dinner table. But I like to use my whole body with plants, and they seem to like it too.
Well, and speaking of dinner, I would like to come back and really ask if, considering that Dr. Bombiron connects so deeply with plants of all types, whether or not he is a pure carnivore.
Oh no, I'm a fruitologist. I only eat the fruits the plants give me, the ones that fall off the tree.
But don't you feel some sense of violation?
Oh no, I plant them afterward. I grab the seeds from them and put them in soil and make sure that they have a full life.
So the seeds that you have voided, you plant again.
Yes, yes. I try to fulfill the cycle. But not all seeds sprout, sadly. Which is something that deeply hurts me.
Well, not every egg contains an embryo.
Truth. Truth.
Thank goodness for that, or I could enjoy an omelet every day.
Because the guilt would consume you.
No, it's too crunchy when there is the embryo inside.
Well, callers, for all the rest of our listeners, the number, if you'd like to call in, is 617-253-8810. And we have four or five operators on the line.
And do call in. We want to talk about your experience with plants, how they have changed your life. Imagine, you know, the majority of the world is covered with plants. It's one of the biggest sources of life in the world.
And really, there is something very spiritual about corn.
That I love corn.
It converts and consumes the sunlight and the nourishing earth,
and there's so many nubs on it, just all over it,
and converts it into delicious corn. Of course, there is something very sinister about it as well.
It's not the kindest of the plants.
Well, in particular, that now I'm not an expert on plants, but my understanding is that during the day, plants will convert carbon dioxide into oxygen.
No.
As part of their natural
photosynthesis, yes.
Mm. Whereas in the evening,
right.
In the evening, and this is good because animals, mammals, and other animals will consume the oxygen and excrete carbon dioxide. Whereas in the evening, the plants will consume the oxygen that we are also breathing and excrete carbon dioxide of their own. So I think this is very sinister.
It's a switcheroo. They're pulling the switch on us, and we're only beginning to realize it. At first we think, oh great, they give us oxygen, and so we plant more of them. But what they're really doing is they're building and they're spreading.
They come after you while you are asleep.
Well, certainly in the dream astral plane, they do. And some people who are not as lucky as I am have had various violations. I don't feel that I've ever been violated by a plant because usually I go with it, and it can be a very great learning experience.
Yeah, well, it seems like a general lesson that if you try to resist the flow of life, that you will simply become violated and hurt by the experience. But if you allow yourself, like the rock which sinks in the quickest way by resisting nothing, to the bottom of the river, you will absorb everything you can from the experience.
I feel that rocks are some of the most orgasmic plants.
Rocks are,
for that reason,
not plants.
They're not land. They are their own being, and they are so wise.
I actually, lately, I started trying to do scuba diving. There was something that attracted me to underwater plant life that I had never experienced above. And there's a step in the middle between the plant life and the animal life that has starting to attract me in my future studies of getting my third doctorate in herpetology. It's the coral reefs. To me, they are an amazing life form. They're like, they're plants and they're animals and they're intertwined, and the line is so blurred in the middle.
They're just inside of each other all the time and just trading resources and feeding each other and gorging on each other's food.
It's magical to me. It really moves me.
Yes, me too. Sometimes I don't know if you know, but Planet Earth, the series from the National Geographic magazine, I put that on my television and I put that on loop and I just meditate, and it's so sexual.
And it's unusual, caller. I noticed that you constantly bring up sexuality in connection with your meditation.
Well, listen, the thing is, I've been through a lot, and I love people, but I'm no longer really attracted to human beings, is what it is. And I feel much more of a erratic connection, let's say, to pets. And
how does your wife feel about this?
Excuse me? I don't know why that would be any of your business. I'm not judging you and your coral reefs or herpetology.
No. I wanted to see how other people around you, if they support your feelings towards your garden and towards your plants. If your families understand that.
No, it's very tough. I make it. My plants support me. I support my plants. We have a self-contained environment of support and love, and that's all I need.
Well, that's good. That
sounds like a really beautiful way of life.
It's so wonderful.
But it must be difficult when you have so much invested in a particular plant to accept.
No. We believe in free love, so there's not any particular plant that has to stick with any other plant or any other being. It's, whatever you feel at the time. And I feel that that's really what's missing in human society. I can't just go out and take off my pants and, on the subway. You can only do that sort of a thing with the plants, because they don't judge you. And they don't laugh at you. They don't, register you as a sex offender and put you in, homes, hospitals. They love you. So, that's a very important part of my life, and I'm going to keep it that way.
I certainly think there's nothing wrong with a focus on plants. It's interesting, too.
I have
too,
to
that
go. Bye.
All right. So, unfortunately, we've just lost our caller. But for anyone else that would like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810. And our operator would be happy to patch you through. Caller, welcome to the air.
Yes, sir. Following up on the information you gave me earlier about my pound cat, I searched the internet and I have not been able to find any similar creatures, except I did find a photograph of a cat with a pineapple growing out of its head.
Well, I believe you have to search in Chinese. Because this is something that has only been recorded in Asia. It's very, very unknown.
You may be right. I tried using English, but I see here other diseases to which my dear pet may be susceptible include the giant palm borer, and I'm very frightened that my cat might get bored.
Well, let's bring another point of view into this discussion. Caller 2, you are on the air. Callers too? Hmm. Well, may I advise all our callers or anyone else that would like to call in that if you please step away from your radio or turn it off before you call in, it would be
feedback.
Wonderful. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Hey, friends. I was listening to your discussion. It was pretty interesting. I had a question. I don't know if I'm... Can I ask that?
Yeah, please. And of course, is this pertaining to the palm cat or plants
no.
in general?
I wasn't aware that plants and animals have that sort of relationship. But
symbiosis, yes.
Now I know, I guess, but I don't... I'd have to see it to believe it. My question has to do with, basically, I'd like to tell you my dream. You could help me interpret it.
Please, caller.
So, I went to sleep last night, and I was listening to the rapper Jay-Z, and I fell asleep, and I started to dream. And in my dream, there was a giant crab, and I was riding the crab across this Serengeti, and there were lions and prides of lions and lionesses and lion cubs and shrubs, and we were riding across, and we came upon this basketball game, and Kevin Garnett was in the game, and I know why Kevin Garnett was in the game. It's because I had just seen a commercial with Kevin Garnett. And he was playing on a high school team, and he was winning so hard. But then all of the seniors from his high school team had to go because there was some sort of a test. So it was just Kevin Garnett and a bunch of stupid, third-string people on the team. And he was struggling a lot more, and the other team started to win. And then I went to a water fountain, and I drank deeply from it. And there was a woman behind me, and she was impatient. But I told her to F off, basically, and I just kept drinking. And then Kevin Garnett came and he gave me a high five. Now, it was very vivid, and I woke up with a sense of lightness.
A sense of accomplishment being... given a high five by Kevin Garnett, and where exactly is it? Were there plants in the dream?
I'm sorry, what?
Were there any plants in the dream, perhaps?
Yes, there were shrubs in the Serengeti, and the water fountain was actually in the middle of all these palm trees. Oh my God, there were palm trees. It was, yes. It all comes together.
Did they have cats growing out of them?
I don't recall cats. What do you think?
Well, your dream certainly does not seem very complicated. You dreamt about Kevin Garnett because you saw him in an advertisement in a commercial on TV. And as for the remainder of the dream, I would not place any undue significance on them.
Okay, well, there's another part which I wasn't going to get into, but I guess I should because it was disturbing. While I was across the Serengeti on the crab, there was a giant jar of marmalade sitting next to me, and we didn't talk, we did not make eye contact, but slowly, ever so slowly,
step by step, slowly I
turned. I ate it.
You ate it? Just like that?
Including the jar.
And how did this make you feel when you woke up?
Guilty. I felt like this marmalade, I don't know, it sounds kind of silly.
Maybe no, hungry. Nothing is silly here. Please, talk to us about it.
Well, this might be silly.
It sounds a little silly, doesn't it? I guess what I really wanted was some friends to talk to about this, too.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about marmalade is that unlike the rest of the food that Dr. Bombiron eats, the oranges from the marmalade are harvested. They are not the free-falling fruit given by the tree. It seems like a cruel vision for an herpetologist that plants would be farmed, much as I think the rest of us would be shocked if humans were farmed in some dystopian future, perhaps by vampires.
Or machines like the Matrix.
Or many people in the left wing would say that human beings are being farmed right now.
Yeah, but they're nowhere near as delicious as corn. But the thing is, I think Senor Bombaron, when you were talking about eating the fruit of your plants and it being, you know, a symbiotic relationship, I think that's the case in many farms. The plants have some sort of consensual agreement to have their fruits taken. In some farms, this is not the case. And there's more of a molestation taking place.
Well, I think we have to go back to the scientific point of view of plants.
And callers, our operator is indicating that there's a lot of feedback, so please turn off your radios.
The relationship between plants and animals in this world is not very well understood by the normal person. We have to understand that they have been evolving together, one next to each other. For instance, we can see the butterfly that is meant to go around and collecting the pollen from flowers to grow, to pollinate them. There's a fungi that actually infects ants. And once an ant is infected, it drives the ant to the top of the leaf of the garden where they're at, where they grow into fungus. It's a very, very chemical warfare between plants and animals. And
apparently, they also grow from the singular to plural in mid-verbal conjugation.
Yes.
No, that's not called for. I'm sorry, Bumber. I have to stand up for you.
I'm sorry. English is my fourth language. It's very hard for me.
Well, why don't we take another caller? Caller 5, you are on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yeah, welcome to the air.
Welcome.
I thought I would be talking to someone off here, but I was actually calling about a show tonight.
Oh, a later show?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put you on hold and
yeah, I'm sorry. Oh. If somebody could help me, I was about to show, sorry.
Certainly.
It's no problem, friend.
But the
I really like lollipops.
Well, there's certainly something tree-like or fruit-like about lollipops.
Yes.
Both. I think that's what's so appealing, is there's so many aspects to them. Yeah, it's also like, you know, they take the shape of a corn dog, which is something that I also really like.
Ah, corn dogs. Is that something you normally enjoy in your dietary needs during the week?
Well, I think we were evolved to like corn dogs.
Yes, yes. The perfect combination of corn and dogs.
Yeah, which are two of the best food groups. If they could only figure out a way to put a lollipop and get that breaded, and then maybe wrap bacon around that, I would pay like $5 for one of those right now.
And in my vision, I was playing the violin to an audience of oak trees. And they rustled their amusement. Caller 6, welcome to the air.
Hello, hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've got a question.
Hmm.
Yeah. About stevia.
About?
Stevia.
Stevia-o?
Stevia. I'm just wondering what you guys can tell me about
it. The powder? The herb that is sweeter, the sugar?
Yeah, you got it. It's that, yep.
Mm, so this is in the domain of our herpetologist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a problem with stevia in the United States, and it's the FDA, I don't think, accepts it completely. They say it's sweeter than sugar, but that is only the interpretation that your tongue has of it.
What are your credentials?
Well, I'm a herpetologist.
Uh-huh.
From South America.
Uh-huh.
Why? Have you tried stevia yourself? I haven't tried it myself.
You know, I have a lot of friends that really like it, yeah. But I'm just wondering what the lowdown is. I figured I could find out from you guys.
Well, it's a.
And I don't really like reading books or anything.
It's supposedly a natural replacement for sugar. But I like to stay stick with the cane myself. The browner, the better.
Sugar cane. Well, let's bring another nodal point into the circle.
Uh-huh.
Caller 7, you are on the air.
Hey, it's me again. I called back because I do have something to say about stevia.
Hmm.
It's been known to cause breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
That's not good.
So I shouldn't be eating it. Right.
Well, it depends.
Well, it's a mutagen. That means that even though it will not directly affect your body, it will.
Can you just give me your credentials?
Again, I'm a herpetologist.
Yeah, I mean, have you published anything?
Oh, many, many times.
Dr. Bombiron is well-respected...
Who are you?
Dr. Bombiron?
No, you. Who are you?
I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran. I'm a transdermal mediator and head of a Sakran Meditation Institute.
Brain verbal.
Maybe I should interject here. The reason that I found out about this radio show is Dr. John was in Entertainment Weekly in last week talking about his meditation techniques. He's apparently a very published, I believe, a PhD, if I'm not mistaken. I've heard of him before.
I just wanted to make sure I was getting, information that I can rely on, basically.
Well, it's a mutagen, but a lot of things are mutagens. Coffee, the caffeine is a mutagen, a natural mutagen. This basically means that it will, your body will be more prone to mutate your cells under these conditions. But that's something that naturally happens in your body anyways. What you don't want is to have a mutagen that is very, very active, very strong. But I don't know directly about this stevia you're talking about. If you want, I'll be ready next week. I'll read up on it.
I do know that it's FDA approved. So that means that there is some sort of credibility attached to it. But, I mean, so is, triple bypass, McDonald's, triple meat. Triple cheese, triple marshmallow burgers. That's
okay.
FDA approved too, and that'll kill you.
Wait,
Do you eat at McDonald's?
What?
No, it's not McDonald's.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like Burger Friend. Excuse me, Burger Friend for that's
well,
but
I like
Wendy's.
I'm a Wendy's man, but I think the point is the more natural you can get, the better, for the most part. So if you want, the raw sugar cane is probably your best bet.
Mm. All right, then. Well, thank you.
And it will satisfy your sweet tooth just as well.
I'm sorry?
The stevia, they say it's 300 times more sugary than sugar, but how can you be more sugary than sugar? It's like being more black than black.
Exactly. that's why, I mean, there's this, you know, conspiracy of, you know, food scientists. And they make their money by, you know, constantly coming up with new things to put in food and putting chemical companies in business. But really the best stuff for you is the stuff straight out of the ground.
Mm.
Like, you know, sugar cane.
Mm.
Beets. Beets is, you know, it's one of the best foods for you, and it's not in anything because they replace beets with...
I'm a huge beet fan.
Me too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I enjoy the Russian cuisine a lot, and they do love their beets.
Beets and potatoes. Potatoes on its
own. Oh, you know, we're talking about food. I have this recipe contest at my work, and I got to come up with a recipe.
Oh, well, I will tell you.
Give me some hints.
I had a bean burger the other day that's made out of beans.
That's not going to work. Sorry.
Okay, well, I had a hamburger the other day that was made out of beans and breadcrumbs and vegetables, green peppers and onions. Well, and there's barbecue sauce in it and a bunch of cumin.
Have you tried some borscht, a soup called borscht? It's a famous Russian soup made of beets and meat. I think that would be delicious. For myself, I only eat the vegetarian version of it, but it's quite delicious.
It's a competition, and I want it to appeal to a lot of people.
You should bring in a fondue, and
a
you
fondue?
Should bring in... Yes, you...
I
yes.
think the health inspectors would be all over that. I'm not sure I could do that.
Fondue? No, you just have to...
Yeah, it's fun, and it's good.
So we gotta have hair nets if we have fun too.
Callers, thank you so much for your contribution. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of the hour. And we must thank again Dr. Bombiron for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much. It was explicitly delicious being here tonight.
Well, the deliciousness was all ours.
Thank you, and we'll see you again next week.
Music for Human Beings is New Age Talk Radio. We are on Fridays at 7 here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Stay tuned for Night Owl. Ma'assalama.